Listening to Expansion on republicbroadcasting.org, the RBN network. This is Sophia, your host, and we're back for another Friday show. I actually clock my life on these Friday shows, believe it or not. Friday comes much sooner than I expect, and I go, wow, now I have to be on RBN again with one of these fantastic people that I get to talk to. This show evolved from connections that I made as a consequence of creating the film 9/11 Mysteries, and my world suddenly expanded, hence the name of the show, and I got to meet all kinds of people by phone and occasionally in person. And today's guest is one of those very interesting people that I was lucky enough to meet in person last year, 2007, in New York, when I went to speak at the annual 9/11 conference at Cooper Union. I met Alfred Weber there. He's a lawyer by profession, and he has a very interesting background. He has rubbed elbows with some heavy-duty policymakers. I believe this gives him a periscope vision into how our world is run. And he also has now created some very interesting programs and websites. One of his programs, or websites rather, is peaceinspace.com, I believe it is. And Alfred introduced me to that website yesterday. What I will bring him on today to discuss primarily, and this is just a very small part of Alfred's rather tremendous knowledge about so many things, so perhaps we'll get to have him on again soon. People have been asking me about HAARP. HAARP is an enigma to so many people. They don't quite understand how this setup of what's known to be ionospheric heaters in Alaska can have such a powerful effect on the entire world. And I would like to introduce our guest so that he can pick up and edify us about this thing called HAARP. Alfred, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, Sophia.
Well, and I hope I did an adequate introduction of you. You really are quite accomplished in so many ways, and oh, I'm very lucky to have you on.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, and I feel very, very welcome, and I feel very happy to be here with you, you know, very privileged to be able to talk about something like HAARP, which is, how shall we say, it's something of an enigma, and yet it's a weapon that is pointed at the destruction of the biosphere and the elimination of a good portion of the human race if we don't ban it and we don't deconstruct that weapon.
Right. Well, we're approaching our three-minute break, so we'll be back on the other side to really get into this subject. You're listening to Expansion on RepublicBroadcasting.org, the RBN network. This is Sophia, your host, and my guest today is Alfred Weber, international lawyer, actually, who is going to edify us about this HAARP program. Alfred, you said something yesterday to me in our conversation on the phone that it really made so much click in my head suddenly all at once, and I actually relayed it to a couple of other people, and it struck them as extremely profound. It's one of those simple things that a person tells you, and then suddenly you see everything in much sharper relief. I will mention what it was, that this HAARP program has three components, the ionosphere, the atmosphere, and what is ground-based. So can we start there?
Sure, sure. Yes, absolutely. I like to call HAARP the invisible weapon, and it's designed as an invisible weapon. It's a space-based weapon of mass destruction, which is invisible, and it has three major components. Its space-based component, which is invisible, weaponizes the natural system. It weaponizes the Earth ionosphere and turns it into a weapon which can create earth, which can be used for environmental warfare in creating earthquakes and droughts, hurricanes, cyclones, weather modification. We can get into a lot of those other functions. The second component is an atmosphere-based component, which is equally invisible, and those are the chemtrails. And the chemtrails are used as a frequency reflector from the ground-based component and the space-based component. And they're also a binary weapon system that are used against the human population. All of the toxic elements contained in chemtrails, which float down to their chemtrails are all over the world, and they float down into the human population, are meant to eliminate the old and the infirm. And the atmosphere-based component is invisible also because any member of any air force, the U.S. Air Force, the Canadian Air Force, the European Air Forces, any of the air forces that spray chemtrails, or any politician, any member of a legislature or an executive branch of any government throughout the world, or any newspaper that publishes anything about chemtrails or television station, they will lose their job. And so it's invisible. And finally, the ground-based component consists of the antenna stations, which are disguised and camouflaged as research facilities, and they exist in Alaska, Greenland, Norway, Australia, and they're building them all of the time. So those are the three major weapon system components: space-based, weaponization of the ionosphere, atmosphere-based, the chemtrails, which are the frequency reflectors, and the ground-based, which are the towers, which are camouflaged as research towers. And
now,
it's an invisible space-based weapon of mass destruction.
Can I ask you whether the microwave towers used to transmit cell phone signals are part of this ground-based network also?
Well, they are in the larger sense. One of the principal functions of HAARP is in mass mood control and mass mind control, because the electromagnetic frequencies that are emitted by HAARP and reflected back from the ionosphere amplified by the chemtrails, can be used as a medium to transmit thoughts and frequencies into the target population. I watched a presentation at the Nexus Conference in Australia, for example, of a former Department of Defense scientist who actually worked on some of the software that is used for transmission through HARP of the mind control software. And this is used, for example, for the transmission of dreams in the REM state. Typically, there's rapid eye movement state somewhere between 4 and 3 to 5 a.m. The population will go into a REM state where their limbic system is particularly, the limbic system of the brain is particularly susceptible to suggestion from outside sources. So they will load in this program into HARP and beam dreams into the dream state. And we've had now reports of all sorts of people in the U.S., for example, having these dreams about Barack Obama. And they wake up and say, why am I suddenly dreaming about Barack Obama? Well, the answer is that Barack Obama is the chosen candidate of the Trilateral Commission, even though both candidates are chosen by the Trilateral Commission, both McCain and Obama, but Obama's supposed to win. So he's the one who's now flooded with the messages in what I used to call dream warfare at night to fill the dreams of the North American population to wake up and get into Obamania. And that's one of the principal reasons why you have the phenomenon of Obamania. And
really? This is real HARP mind control. It's not... people have said that Obama himself has... he practices techniques of hypnosis in his speeches, and that he himself is trained in mind control and a mind-controlled subject as well.
Well,
so I didn't realize that HARP was playing a role in this.
Oh, this is miles and above what any individual human could do. If you go back to the George Bush days, which we're in the latter weeks of, back in the George Bush days, we would have reports of people having, you know, George Bush was in their dreams. And that's why we got the Iraq War. That's why we got 9/11, is because the entire North American and world population was managed through HARP by bringing in the image of George Bush in through HARP. And that's how you took someone who is literally George W. Bush's nickname during the George H.W. Bush presidency, when George W. Bush used to hang around the White House, was the village idiot, because he's like subnormal. He's like a retard. And it's through these massive tools of massive mind control that they create these virtual characters and make them into world leaders. Now, the difference between the village idiot and Barack Obama is that Obama has some talents, whereas Bush was a retard who was pushed by a particular faction. Obama is pushed by a different faction, but still... He has more talents, but at the same time, one should be very, very realistic about what's behind all of this. And the driving force behind Obamania is HARP.
Well, that is very interesting, I must say. And this would require that if they're going to project into our dream state, I think you called it dream warfare, which is an interesting term, then they would be having to do that. You know, there are several time zones in the United States, so they would have to be triggering dreams in all the different time zones. So they'd be doing this fairly, you know, for a large part of the day from where they are. So the HAARP system in Alaska is where this issue's from.
They're weaponizing the ionosphere, which is the entire globe. What HAARP does is it makes planet Earth into a death star.
Yes, that's a term Lorraine Murray used also.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out where these particular rays or beams are coming from that constitute dream warfare. They're coming from the ionosphere, I think you're trying to say.
Yeah. You're turning the entire ionosphere into a reflective antenna.
I see.
You're inside a sphere, which is a reflective antenna.
All right. Well, thank you. This is amazing. And we have our short break coming up, and we'll be back on the other side of that to continue.
Okay.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
You're listening to Expansion on republicbroadcasting.org, the RBN network. This is Sophia, your host, and I am speaking today with Alfred Weber, international lawyer, who has apparently delved deep into the subject of HAARP in his creation of several... haven't you created a space treaty, which we will get into later? But the whole weaponization of space is the subject that I suppose we have to fear in the future or either do something about. And we have just learned from Alfred that Obamamania is partly or perhaps wholly the creation of this HAARP intervention, mass mind control program issuing from the ionosphere. Now, that actually surprises me. I'm amazed that it could do that.
Yeah, well, if you go to the most recent Gallup polls, they actually took a worldwide Gallup poll, and Obama has these huge leads, like 90% worldwide. And HAARP is a worldwide mind control weapon.
So you're saying that the Obama's, you know, his that chorus of change, where I'm going to bring you change, that isn't really heard by people abroad, and yet this lead is reflected all over. So you're saying that Obama's popularity really can't be attributed to the major marketing efforts made around him and promotion and all the pitches?
No,
and the speech.
It's all an integrated marketing rollout, a huge component of it is mass mind control through HAARP. Once you have these images coming in to the limbic system via implantation at the brain, you know, implantation in the mind through electromagnetics, either coming in through HAARP or coming in, what you mentioned, through the cell phone towers. If you sleep with your cell phone, next to your bed, that those cell phone frequencies can be used to transmit mind control images backward into your mind. Or if you have a cable television in your bedroom, which you do not disconnect at night, that those frequencies are used right now by military intelligence agencies to reverse transmit into your mind control information.
Now, you're saying even if the television is switched off?
Correct.
And this would apply to even an old television, as long as it's hooked up to the cable comes into your house.
And so the best thing to do is at night, before you go to sleep, disconnect the cable, if you have a cable TV in your bedroom, and always sleep with a cell phone in a different room from where you sleep.
So just the barrier of the wall is good enough to diminish.
Distance.
Pardon?
Yeah. Distance.
Distance. Okay, the distance.
If you're walking around with a cell phone in your pocket, know two things. Number one, that's a microphone to military intelligence agencies. And I've had it demonstrated to me that they can turn on anybody's cell phone and use it as a microphone to transmit back to them any conversations that are going on at any time, anywhere.
Even if the phone is switched off?
Sure.
Okay.
And so cell phones are, as soon as you get a cell phone, you're giving the national security state complete access to you and to where you are at all times and to any conversations that you're privy to. You are a walking microphone to that conversation. That should be known, number one. And number two, you are a walking electromagnetic transmitter of whatever mind control frequencies they want to broadcast through you and to you. That's one of the trade-offs of having a cell phone.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question about the Obama dreams. I haven't had any dreams of Obama, so obviously this hasn't affected me yet in that way specifically. And I'm using the word specifically and yet. So it's not reaching everyone, right? It's just reaching a number of people.
Yeah, put it this way. One of the fields that we study is what we call dream warfare dreams. There may be categories of dreams, and I kind of hear the music in.
Yes, so we'll have to pick up in another couple of minutes. But
sure, they're
okay. We're going now for the break.
Oh, okay, good.
All right.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Expansion on republicbroadcasting.org. The RBN Network. This is Sophia, your host, and I'm speaking with Alfred Weber on the subject of HARP. Okay, so I really wasn't prepared to understand HARP on that level, but I guess this is something we're going to have to accept. And I was asking you about the Obama dreams and how they are, if they're not able to reach everyone, what is it that makes that connection fail in some people?
Sure. Well, first of all, just just to give you some background, I have both a degree as an attorney, and I have a graduate degree as a psychotherapist from the University of Texas. So I've studied dreams, and I've spent a number of years in practicum leading groups and treating patients. So I just want to say that I have some professional expertise in the area of dreams. Just because you don't remember having dreams about Obama doesn't mean that your subconscious is not processing information that you may have been subjected to, either through HARP or through the cell phone or through a TV connection or through Gwen Towers or through other electromagnetic sources. And very frequently, individuals who live in an electromagnetically targeted zone, such as our new urban centers or suburban centers typically are, targeted by cable TV, cell phones, and HARP, at nighttime, we'll either have no conscious memory of dreams, even though their subconscious are targeted by all of these memories, or they will have disturbed dreams, which are not really what I would call normal organic dreams. Normal psychological dreams are where your subconscious is processing psychological issues from your life. And, you know, you can go to a dream dictionary and you have normal symbols. And a dream warfare dream will be much sharper. It'll be much more of a terror kind of caricature. You know, they'll be George Bush kind of trying to chase you, or they're terrorists trying to chase you, or there'll be themes either trying to get you scared of the war or trying to lull you into complacency or scared about economics, make you very, very afraid, you know, push you into fear, push you into whatever sort of emotions that the national security state wants to push the electorate or the population into for purposes of political manipulation. And there are deeper programs which are going on, if they can be implemented, end game programs of depopulation, incarceration, elimination of the Constitution. These were attempted to be implemented in the George Bush administration. 9/11 was to, if it had been completely successful, was to have led to martial law and a complete lockdown. Thankfully, it wasn't totally successful. And in the midterm election of November 7th, 2006, the police state in the U.S. was stopped when the neocons lost control of both houses of Congress. So there's been that sort of civil war going on. But HARP has been part of the instrumentation of the attempted takeover of the New World Order. Go ahead.
Okay, I want just to ask so that I can understand if there's any recourse at all. The fact that I'm not remembering my dreams of Obama and others are not, meaning that we're having them, but they're not registering in us. And I'm bringing up this point for a reason. You're still saying that they can project regardless, and that we may be manufacturing dreams as a consequence of what they're injecting us with in terms of their images. But something's happening, because there are an awful lot of people who are seeing through the Obama manipulation and are not falling for it. So where does the resistance come from? As a psychotherapist, can you explain that?
Yes, yes. I.e., the New World Order is failing. It's failing what I would call at the level of the soul, and that is at the level of the deeper self, because these mind control technologies, which were developed out of the research happening in the Third Reich, are really brain-oriented. And the seat of consciousness is not totally in the brain. There are deeper levels of consciousness and deeper levels to the human being. And we are in an era now in which those deeper levels of the human being, in which some call it the higher self, if you want to get into Jungian terms. Others call it the soul, if you want to get into more spiritual terms. All of these can be explained in scientific terms, in the sense that there's a Swedish scientist who actually measured the weight of the soul. You know, it is a physical mechanism. It exists in an etheric entity. And the mind control technology cannot reach those levels. So at the deeper levels, more and more people are able to retain perception and not become hypnotized by this technology, which is essentially a brain-oriented technology, and maintain an arm's length perception from the virtual reality that the national security state is attempting to impose by controlling money, mainstream media, controlling government, things like that.
What you're saying is actually very inspiring, and this is, you know, what so many people keep repeating, and yet those who feel panicked by the political situation feel that a statement like, well, if you are awake on the level of your soul, they cannot control you, that people
have
a sense that that isn't enough. But what you're saying, if you're really explaining this in terms of science, then we have a shot here. You know, it's not all for naught.
Yes. This is actually, you see, what is occurring on Earth is actually spiritual warfare. And what I would call the dark side understands that. We're actually engaged in a battle of souls. Dark versus light. It's actually, this is where normal political discourse has really hampered itself, because it has not developed and kept up with science. And so the progressives in the United States, especially, because they have not kept up with the discoveries of science in areas like parapsychology, and they don't admit it into the public discourse, they allow the permanent war economy and the Central Intelligence Agency and the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization, which has been operating a world mind control empire on mind control techniques developed during the Third Reich, which has covertly been operating at the level of spiritual warfare. They understand that this is a kind of a war for soul, but without religious connotations. It's more in a scientific sense. How can we mind control techniques are the weapon of choice, and the battlefield is the minds of the world population. And so civil defense really is the soul. I'm just kind of using war metaphors here. And so the wake-up call is to bring science back into the picture, to stay away from religious metaphors. Like, oh, you know, the Lord is coming and the Lord is going to save us, because religion really is more about organization and power. It's not about the individual's, makeup. I mean, each of us is made up of a complex organism of mind, body, and spirit. And it's that spirit that the New World Order can't touch. So as long as we are all coming from a grounded base in spirit, then we can all see through this. And then once we have developed the adequate political tool, which we have in the case of HAARP, we've developed a space preservation treaty to ban weapons in space, including space-based weapons of mass destruction that use natural systems like the ionosphere. And as soon as we understand how to get these treaties signed, bypassing the blockage at the United Nations, well, we can take care of this.
Well,
hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm taking furious notes, because some of the terms you're using are really great. And this idea that the New World Order has installed religion in our midst to, in a sense, make us abdicate ownership of our soul and, you know, give our soul over to the Lord to control, when we, by retaining our spirit, our soul, and being the operators of that ourselves, then that is our best deflection and defense against this very advanced mass mind control that they are proliferating, right?
Is that a
good way? Because, you see, what interests me here is that the whole concept of religion is so old. It's been with us for so long, comparatively speaking. You know, my lifetime has not been a couple thousand years. So organized religion is something that's relatively old. Yet this warfare that you're describing, this mind control warfare, seems to be extremely high-tech and new, although elements of it, tenets and protocols of it, date way, way, way back.
Yes,
so,
right, exactly. That's why you find the alliance of very old organizations such as the Vatican with the Pentagon and
mm-hmm.
with the Bush administration. And that's why the Vatican is part of the New World Order. And finds itself allied with the psyops of the New World Order, because through that, it can perpetuate its own power by being part of the New World Order, where it, if you assign your soul over to the Vatican, then the New World Order owns your body, your mind, and your soul. And that's the nature of the warfare that we're dealing in now. And by deconstructing all of that, we see that the people really have the power because we have the soul power, which is the ultimate power. And the combined soul power, there's nothing that can overpower the combined soul power of the people on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very, very heartening, because so many people among us, I got an email yesterday from a guy in the UK, and he said he had listened to a couple of talk show hosts, and he could feel their frustration, and he told me in the email he wasn't going to try to tell any more of his friends about what was going on, because it's just too painful, and that was the word he used. It's too painful and it's too difficult. And yet here you are reminding us that we have this part of us that's ours. If we could just claim it again and say it's ours, no one is going to get in us, because that's there was a word you used, defense, recourse. Anyway, we're at our break, so I'll be back with Alfred Weber. You're listening to Expansion on republicbroadcasting.org, the RBN network. This is Sophia, your host, and I am speaking today with Alfred Weber, international lawyer, and also someone with quite a deep background in psychology and psychotherapy and basically an understanding of mind control. Alfred, no, I haven't talked to anyone who has this kind of depth in this subject, and who also has managed to work out the solution in such a convincing way. So this has to get out, you know.
Thank you. Yeah. Our firm belief is that humanity wants to survive, and the planet wants to survive. And we came very close to going over the brink in the Bush years, but they lost. So now the rest is mop up now. And it's just a matter of becoming aware and getting the word out that there is this weapon system that's been deployed against us, and that there are these plans, and bringing them out to the light of day, and getting all of this implemented, the force of nature is with us. That is, as we begin to move more and more toward alignment with a gigantic, back around 2002 and 2003, science first discovered that there's actually a gigantic black hole at the center of our galaxy, which is 23,000 miles distant, 23,000 light years distant from Earth, and it's 4,000 times as heavy as the sun. We are moving toward alignment with that black hole sometime over the next 3 years or so. And as we do so, that apparently, according to some scientists, including Dr. Carl Kalaman of the University of Washington, has a beneficial effect on human consciousness. That is, because of the density of the black hole, and which tends to suck all light into it, and also which tends to accelerate time as you come into alignment with it. Time is not a static factor. And so you are saying, oh, gee, at the beginning of the program, I marked my days by Fridays, and Fridays seem to come up that much more often. Oh, my gosh, thank God it's Friday. And Fridays come up almost in an accelerating way? Well, it's true, and time is accelerating as we're approaching that alignment with the gigantic black hole. And
well, so we are at our top of the hour break, and we will begin our second hour, and I really want to get into some of this more with Alfred Weber, our guest today.